The United States Trade Representative launched a formal Section 301 investigation into Germany's pharmaceutical pricing policies. The probe targets Germany's health insurance cost containment measures, which is the system through which the German government negotiates drug prices for its own citizens, and accuses Berlin of, and I'm quoting here, persistent underpayment for innovative pharmaceutical products. USTR Ambassador Jameson Greig said President Trump has made clear that American patients should not be shouldering a disproportionate share of global pharmaceutical research and development. He called Germany's plan to save 16 billion euros on healthcare costs a serious step backwards. The United States government basically has opened a trade investigation into a sovereign European nation for the crime of trying to make medicine affordable for its own population, for which they pay taxes for, by the way. Washington is essentially telling Berlin that German patients must pay more for drugs so that American pharmaceutical companies can maintain their profit margins. That sounds like economic coercion applied to healthcare, because nothing really says free market quite like shaking down your allies so Big Pharma can buy another super yacht. My name is Elle, and I use data analysis to spot patterns in geopolitics and economics, and this story landed in the same week that Foreign Affairs, the most influential international relations journal in the world, published a piece titled The Only Way to Save Europe. That one is important. The author's thesis is that Europe must act like a country, not like 27 countries that happen to share a currency, rather a single strategic entity with unified defense, unified trade policy, unified industrial strategy, and the institutional capacity to push back against precisely the kind of pressure the United States just applied to Germany's healthcare system. The timing of the two publications, one from USTR, one from Foreign Affairs, is, I think, coincidental, but the connection between them is not. And if you think it is, I have a bridge in Brooklyn and a flawless, low-cost American healthcare plan to sell you. The pharmaceutical probe is the latest in a pattern this channel has been documenting across every sector. Washington tells the Netherlands who ASML can sell to. Washington tells Europe which cloud providers can handle government data. Washington tells Canada it might tear up their trade deal. Washington leaks Dutch civil servants' names to Congress. Washington withdraws submarines from NATO, threatens to suspend Spain, insults Italy's prime minister on Italian television. And now Washington tells Germany that its healthcare system charges too little for American drugs. At this rate, Washington's next geopolitical move is basically checking Europe's browser history, no? Each of these individual actions can, I guess, be explained by narrow policy logic, like trade deficits, R&D cost sharing, national security, but together they describe a country that treats its closest allies as subordinate entities whose domestic policies require American approval. The German response has been measured but firm. Germany's draft healthcare reform, which would have introduced variable discounts on pharmaceuticals to close the projected 40 billion euro deficit in public health insurance by 2030, is being revised after industry pushback from both American and German pharmaceutical companies. But the underlying fiscal reality has not really changed at all. German public health insurance is running unsustainable deficits. The government has a democratic mandate to address this, and the suggestion that Berlin should just abandon that mandate because Pfizer and Eli Lilly prefer higher European drug prices is the kind of argument that sounds reasonable in Washington boardrooms and very absurd in a Berlin hospital waiting room, where, let's be real, the only thing people want to swallow is their pills, not American lecture notes. And this is not happening in isolation, by the way. While Washington investigates German healthcare pricing, Europe is actively decoupling from American systems across every sector this channel covers and accelerating. In defense, Italy canceled Boeing's tanker and bought Airbus instead. Canada rejected Boeing's surveillance aircraft and chose Saab. France and Germany fired Palantir from their intelligence services. In payments, the European Parliament just voted to build a digital euro. In cloud, the Netherlands blocked a US takeover of its national identity system. In search, the European Parliament replaced Google with Quant. In satellites, the EU blocks Starlink from expanding into European spectrum. In trade, the EU signed deals with Mexico and Mercosur and gave Canada preferential defense procurement access. And of course, let's not forget Wero, who is literally a contender to replace Visa and MasterCard. So when Luma reached out to sponsor this video, it actually made sense because this is exactly the kind of alternative people keep asking me about. Over the past few months on this channel, we've been documenting how Europe and Canada are trying to reduce dependence on the United States across trade, defense, technology, payments, cloud infrastructure, social media, and increasingly AI. And one question that keeps coming up is if people don't want every part of their digital life running through American tech infrastructure, what can they actually use? That's why Lumo is such an interesting fit for this audience. It's Proton's AI assistant built by the same team behind Proton Mail and is designed around privacy from the start. Zero access encryption, no conversation logs, no use of your chats to train AI models, and Proton-controlled servers in Switzerland. And privacy matters especially with AI because people use these tools for research, strategy, personal decisions, draft sensitive questions, things you don't necessarily want sitting in company logs or training pipelines. I've been using Lumo myself for research, summarizing general everyday AI queries, and I found it genuinely useful. So if you've been looking for a more privacy-focused AI assistant, especially one outside big tech infrastructure, Lumo is definitely worth looking at. You can try it out for free or check out their paid plans at proton.me/houseofl. The link is down in the description. The Foreign Affairs piece argues that Europe's current institutional structure, where defense, trade, and foreign policy decisions require unanimous agreement among 27 member states, is too slow and too fragmented to respond to the pace of American pressure. The author, Maurizio Molinari, cites the December 2025 Pentagon briefing in which U.S. officials told European diplomats that the continent must assume leadership of NATO by 2027. He argues that this was not a suggestion, but rather a deadline, and that meeting it requires Europe to consolidate its decision-making into something closer to a federal structure, a single European foreign minister with real authority, a single European defense procurement agency, a single European position on trade disputes like the pharmaceutical probe, rather than 27 separate national responses that Washington can divide and exploit individually. If you've been following this channel's coverage on European sovereignty, this is the part where the institutional architecture becomes clear. The one where the question shifts from what is Europe building to can Europe govern what it has built? And another important bit, Kaja Kallas, the EU's High Representative for Foreign Affairs, has been making the same argument in different language for months now. When we are divided, we are weak, she said at the most recent Foreign Affairs Council. And when we are weak, we can be pushed around. The pharmaceutical probe is what pushed around looks like in practice. Germany, the EU's largest economy, a G7 member, NATO's second largest European contributor, is being investigated by Washington for deciding how to price medicine inside its own borders. If that can happen to Germany, it can happen to any member state, to anyone basically, and the only defense against it is the collective weight of a 500 million person single market that responds as one entity rather than 27 separate targets. The pharmaceutical industry is not a peripheral sector either. Europe is the world's second largest pharmaceutical market. BioNTech, CureVac, Boehringer Ingelheim, and Bayer are all German. Novo Nordisk is Danish, AstraZeneca is British-Swedish, Sanofi is French, Roche and Novartis are Swiss. The European pharmaceutical ecosystem is enormous, innovative, and structurally integrated across the continent. Washington's probe is not just an attack on German pricing policy. It is a warning shot at the entire European pharmaceutical industry, a signal that any country that prices American drugs below what Washington considers fair could face the same investigation. Eli Lilly has already slashed plan investment in Germany following the healthcare reform announcement. Boehringer Ingelheim, a German company, warned that the reforms would stifle innovation. The US-EU trade deal reached at Turnberry last year capped pharmaceutical tariffs at 15%. The probe, however, threatens to blow past that cap by opening a separate Section 301 track that bypasses the agreement entirely. Europe approved legislation this week to eliminate tariffs on many U.S. imports, fulfilling its own side of the Turnberry deal, but the U.S. responded by launching an investigation into how Germany runs its hospitals. Just talk about a toxic relationship. It's classic. In terms of what's going to happen next, the prediction is that the Section 301 probe will not result in tariffs on German pharmaceutical imports before the September public hearing, because the political cost of taxing medicine during an inflation crisis would be enormous even for this administration, I think. But the probe itself achieves its purpose by pressuring Germany to water down the healthcare reform and by signaling to every other European government that reducing drug prices will attract American retaliation. It's like a warning sign. The foreign affairs thesis that Europe must act like a country will probably, I think, gain further institutional momentum through the autumn as the NATO summit, the European Council, and the G7 aftermath produce concrete proposals for consolidated decision making. And finally, the gap between what Europe has built sector by sector, I'm talking sovereign defense, sovereign payments, sovereign cloud, sovereign AI, sovereign satellites, and the institutional capacity to govern all of it as a unified strategic entity, will likely become the defining challenge of European politics for the rest of this decade. But the pharmaceutical probe is just the latest example of Washington trying to dictate terms to European industry. I made a separate video on how the Dutch trade minister flew to Washington to personally tell Congress to stop trying to control who ASML sells to and why the company that makes every chip-making machine on Earth does not take orders from Capitol Hill. That's the video that I would watch next. Thanks so much for watching this one. Subscribe.